Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to our listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jamaah, to this program, Al Fiqh al Madahib al Arba'ah, Jurisprudence according to the Four Schools of Thought. Today's date is the 25th of Jumad al Ula, 1443, corresponding to the date, the 30th December 2021. Today, our program is specifically on New Year's, and all our questions that our listeners have, you can send it through to our to the number, and we have our Honorable Mufti Sahib here. Mufti Sahib, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Honor Zaid Khan, Jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Sahib, the first question is, when did the Islamic calendar start?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulihil Kareem, Amma Ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before I answer the query, let me make the announcement, inshallah, tonight between 8 and 10, again, we will have our special Q&A, and it will be an open line, whatever is on your mind, you can pose the questions, inshallah, send them via email, 084-786-3132, and for the foreign listeners, +27 84 786 3132, and similarly, that inshallah, like last week, we will try our level best to answer all your queries. So try and keep it short and sweet, inshallah. So when was our Islamic calendar introduced and sanctioned? Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala answers this question in a noble Quran, Surah 9, Chapter 9, Surah Tawbah, verse 36. Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala states, Inna iddat ash-shuhuri inda Allah ithna ashara shahra. Verily, the amount of months by Almighty Allah are 12. So already Almighty Allah mentions 12. Fi kitab Allah, in the book of Almighty Allah, it is prescribed, ordained. Yawma khalaqa samawati wal ard, the day Almighty Allah created the heavens and the earth. Minha arbaatun hurum, and from this 12 months, 4 are holy and sacred months. So the Quran Sharif is silent now, which are the 4 holy months, sacred months. So Almighty Allah sends wahi, revelation to Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as mentioned in Surah 16, verse 44, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَا لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. We sent you and revealed to you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the reminder, so that you explain to people in detail what has been revealed to them, وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, and so that they wonder and ponder. So which are the 4 holy sacred months? Then you go to Bukhari Sharif, the hadith, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Salatun mutawaliyat, 3 are consecutive months, Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, and Muharram, and the month of Rajab. So what does it mean to be a sacred and holy month? In those days, even the pre-Islamic days, prior to Miladun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the honorable birth and advent of the Master alayhi salatu salam, they had a custom and tradition that when these months would come, then remember, what would they do? That they would then have an automatic ceasefire. See, Dhul-Qa'dah, the month of sitting. So meaning that now there'll be no warfare, no combat. Dhul-Hijjah, the Hujjaj, that the pilgrims will have a safe passage to Makkah Mukarrama. Muharram, the sacred month. So now, Qudumul Hujjaj, Audatul Hujjaj. Now the Hujjaj must return home, the pilgrims must go home. And then in between the year, you have the month of Rajab. So one, there will be no fighting, no combat. And second, during the course of the year, if people want to perform Umrah, then they knew that they had a safe passage to the Baytullah. There will be no combat and fighting. So we can safely say as Muslims, from day one, the day Allah created this entire universe, so Almighty Allah already sanctioned the Islamic lunar calendar. So our calendar is as old as time is, from time immemorial.
Mufti Sahib, the next question is, how important is it for us to maintain the Islamic calendar?
Remember that the fuqaha and the jurors have written that it is farz kifaya. So we are now in Lanesia. So the whole of Lanesia, at least 1-2 people must uphold the Islamic calendar. And therefore we will tell you that Alhamdulillah, O esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, today is the 25th of Jumad al-Ula. So at least one organization, one institution, one family must uphold it daily. If everybody neglects it, the entire society, the entire community, then that entire society, community will be kulluhum athimun. All will be considered as guilty. So therefore, farz kifaya, like how we have Salatul Janaza, the funeral prayer. So similarly, remember, so that is what the verdict is farz kifaya. See, I give you 2-3 easy examples. Therefore, in my programs, I normally don't mention the Gregorian calendar, I only mention the Islamic calendar. Because Gregorian calendar, today everybody knows. The old people, the dada, nana, nani, grandparents, father, mother, children, grandchildren, everybody knows. But when you ask them what is the Islamic date, very few people will know. I give you another example. Ask the Muslim today when he was born. They will tell you I was born in March or May or June or whatever. Ask them what is the Islamic date they were born. 90% will not know that. It shows that we have now, our hearts have become so saturated with the Gregorian calendar that all of us use that and we use it on a daily basis. But the Islamic calendar, majority of us, we have neglected it and abandoned it. And that does not bode well for the future. So we must always give currency to our teachings and our calendar, our traditions, our culture, and not neglect and abandon it. So that's one issue. So that is about farz kifaya. So therefore, every madrasa, every Islamic or Muslim school rather, or for example, Muslim institution, so all should be promoting and advertising and informing the people what is the Islamic date. Now, how important is it? Now we go to the next verse, and that is chapter 9, verse 37. You see, these same Arabs, these same pagans, now sometimes they were involved, engaged in war. Let's say, for example, now Ramadan came, then the month of Shawwal, then the next month is Zulqa'dah. So now they are winning, or they're on the verge of winning. So now what will happen is that the next month is Zulqa'dah, so there must be automatic ceasefire. So they will say, no, we just changed it a little bit. Now is the month of Safar, or is the month of Rabiul Awwal. Then when Safar, Rabiul Awwal come, we will just, alles rechmak, we will then sort it out like that. So still end of the year, it will be 12 months, but now they played with the months. That you call this nasi, you call this intercalation, you call this postponement of months, ta'khir. So the month supposed to be now, but then they delayed it, they postponed it. And so Islam says, Quran says, Surah 9, verse 37, innaman nasi'u ziyadatun fil kufri. That this nasi, this delaying, postponing, intercalation, is one addition in kufr. So any person, any country, remember that plays with the Islamic calendar, manipulates it for his own, you know, advantage, orders, whatever they want to do. And now you start changing it, chopping, changing according to your whim's fancies and desires. So not only ta'khir, not only delaying it, so even taqdeem, even bringing it earlier. So that Quran says, ziyadatun fil kufri, is another addition in kufr. So imagine the wa'id, the warning Islam has given us. We must follow the Islamic calendar to the T, and not change it and chop and change and all that according to our whims, fancies and desires. So how does the Islamic month work? Take our month now, currently very easy. So today we will say is the 25th of Jumad al-Ula. There's another point also. Majority of the Ummah don't even know how to pronounce the months correctly. Muharram wa taha, Swafar with a sword, Rabi'ul Awwal, Rabi'ul Akhir, Jumada. You will hear even ulama pronounce it and write it wrong. It's Jumada al-Ula with a Dhamma on the Jim, not a Fatha Zabar on the Jim. Jumada al-Ula, Jumada al-Ukhra, or Jumada al-Akhira, both is fine. Then Rajab, Sha'ban, Ramadan, Shawwal, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah. So that is how we should know the month, how to pronounce it and so forth. So see how important it is. So let's take now that how do you prove that the month has ended, the next month must start. So Monday, this coming Monday, the 3rd of January, so will be the 29th of Jumad al-Ula, right? So when then is the 29th, so that evening, Monday evening, after sunset, we must scan the sky. And when we scan the sky, if the new moon, the crescent is sighted, in Arabic you call it Hilal. In Arabic is such a rich language, therefore we say the first language on this earth and universe was Arabic, and the last language will be Arabic, and the language in Jannah will be Arabic. So remember this. So in Arabic, the first three nights, that we call that Hilal. So Monday night, the moon is sighted, for example, Tuesday night, Wednesday night is Hilal. And then it comes to the full moon, 14th night, it's called Badr, like that. And every day, every night, increasing, decreasing, waxing, waning, you call it Qamar. So the increase, decrease, and so forth. So everything in Islam we did. But the Muslim today is unaware of this. So 29th. So if the moon is sighted, crescent is sighted, so that usher in the month of Jumad al-Ukhra or Akhirah. And remember, then Tuesday is the first. If the moon is not sighted, then the next day becomes 30th, and after 30th, automatically is the first. On the 30th, then you don't have to look for the moon and scan the sky, because after 30th, there's no 31. So there's no leap year and all that in Islam. So see what the natural system, easy system, the person in the metropolitan, cosmopolitan area, and the people in the jungle, in the forest, in the desert, they also can calculate it. They just look at the moon and then they will know what the date is. So the waxing and the waning of the moon also gives us many, many good signs and messages as well.
Mufti Sahib, the next question is, when was the Islamic calendar implemented?
Remember, officially, the Islamic calendar was implemented during the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, and if you want, it was in the 16th year of the Hijrah, 1-6. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, who ruled from the 13th year, and remember, right up to the end of the 23rd year, for more than 12 years he ruled, Amirul Mu'mineen. On the 1st of Muharram, the year 24, Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala became the Khalifa. So in the 16th year, and if you want the corresponding, the two, three very big incidents took place during the 16th year. One, that the Islamic calendar was officially implemented and so forth. And remember that in that 16th year after Hijrah, then Jerusalem, Palestine, Beit al-Muqaddas, Beit al-Maqdis, all that were conquered during the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh. So Gregorian calendar, it works to 636. So our Gregorian calendar, 636. And according to Islamic calendar, 16. So we must remember this. It will always help us later on in our life. So that's what we should know. Now, what led to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu to take this decision? So there was a mashura, there's a wonderful book, you must remember, about Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu warda, and written by Sheikh Tantawi rahimahullah. Excellent book, remember that. Obviously in Arabic it is. So in there it's written that Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu is in Yemen. So he sends a message to him, to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and says, you know that we receiving correspondence from you, from others, we send correspondence, but we ourselves are now getting mixed up. Which one came first, which one came second, which one came third? We must have a calendar and a date that tells us this and so forth. So then they had Mashura and so forth. Then somebody said, okay, we must start with the birth of some personality or death of some personality and so forth. They said, no. So remember, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Ali, all gave their wonderful inputs. And then it was decided that Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu said, we must start with Muharram. Sayyidina Ali said, we start with the Hijrah. And in that way, the Hijrah calendar was implemented. They went backwards to the Hajj of Nabi alayhi salam, because Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, inna zamana qad istadar, said, the time rotated, and came back to the original time. And therefore, the 9th of Zulhijjah, on that Friday, the 10th year of the Hijrah, is 100% the correct date. So once you start from there, then you know when the Hijrah and everything takes place and so forth and so on. So that's how they calculated. But now the question one will ask, so how did they work out the date before that and so forth? So remember, they would take the major incidents. For example, I give you 2-3 examples that you see. We say ulid an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam am al-fil, that Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's honorable birth, the Milad Mubarak, took place during the year of the elephant. So we know 50-55 days prior to that, the honorable birth and auspicious birth and Miladun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abraha came with the elephants and so forth and so on. So that is housed. Then you see, when Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, then Abu Talib, he didn't embrace Islam, but Nabi alayhi salam loved him, he loved Nabi alayhi salam. So that year is known as Amul Huzan, when Mustafa sallallahu alayhi salam was 51 years old. So like that, one major incident, so the year was named after that. So we have the Amul Wufud, we have the 9th year of the Hijrah, we have the Amul Hajjatil Wida, the farewell Hajj, like that. So you must remember that they knew which year it is, but every day they shouldn't worry too much about that. So it got officially implemented in the 16th year of the Hijrah, and this is known as Awwaliyat-e Umar. Awwaliyat-e Umar means the reforms that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu brought and introduced in Islam. And no simple person can come and say it's bid'ah or innovation. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said, alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnatil khulafa'ir rashidin al-mahdiyin, you must follow my way and the way of the rightly guided khulafa. So therefore it's farz and compulsory for the kifaya for us, the Muslim ummah, whether we in America, Australia, New Zealand, or Hamanskral or Hong Kong, that we must follow the Islamic calendar throughout the year, not only Ramadan time and Eid time and so forth.
Mufti Sahib, the next question is, when did the non-Muslim Gregorian calendar start?
Now we have to juxtapose and draw a comparison. Remember that. If you remember that last week I told you in our lesson that about the Christmas, that we told you that in 1647, the Puritan Parliament of Britain, they had banned the Christmas celebration, and they said it is a pagan custom. So always remember that. That was in 1647, the Puritan Parliament of Britain. And this no person can reject, because it's documented by them themselves. So that's one point. Second point is this, that they had a Julian calendar. So the Julian calendar, they had 10 months only. So now if you take the Julian calendar and you count September 7th, so Sept means 7, October Oct means 8, November Nov means 9. Now the month we are in, December, means 10. So the Ism and the Musamma, the name and what is referring to, are corresponding. But you take the Gregorian calendar, what the whole world almost is using, although China and all that have their own New Year, some other countries, but when I went to China, that year was the year of the dragon. They give every New Year of theirs, the Chinese New Year, a different name and so forth. But by and large, we see that Muslim countries, Arab countries, and you must remember the Western world, non-Muslim world, majority use this Gregorian calendar. So one problem already we have with the Gregorian calendar is this, that you say, let's go backwards, that'd be easy. December, the meaning of December is 10. But when I write down today, so I'll write 30 and then stroke and then 12. So it shows the number and the meaning of December are not corresponding. Similarly, November, Nov means 9, because December means 10. But when we write, we say 12. So when we write regarding November, we will write that 11th. But the reality is it means 9. Similarly, October, Oct means 8. So remember. And now when we write down, so we say 10. So we say that 1st of October, so 01, then 10, 10. So like that. Then September, so Sept means 7. But when we write down, then you say 9. We all know 9-11. So the Americans, they like to be different, so they put the month first. So 9 refers to the month and the 11th of September. So 9-11 as it's called. So see, that one big problem already they got there. So now the question arises, how did this Gregorian calendar come into, you understand, into existence and so forth? So they were carrying on with the Julian calendar. Then a pope came. He's known Pope Gregory. So pope was running around with also an idol. And that idol was Janus, J-A-N-U-S. And he had two faces, this idol. And this idol, one face of good and one face of evil. So he told the world that no, now we must change the calendar, and the first month of the new year must be January. They're dedicating it to that idol there. So we all use it. Remember that, but nobody thinks of that idol and all that. So we will say it's permissible, but we should at least know that what the reality of it is. Then still they could not come right. Then they introduced another month, February. And that also another idol, pagan business. And still they could not come right. Then they said, okay, let us do it this way. So you see, this also they stole from Islam. What Islam said, Inna iddata shuhuri indallahi isna ashara shahra. That there are 12 lunar months. So they said we also must have 12 months. So they will call it 12, you understand, Gregorian calendar, whatever, solar calendar, whatever. So in a way like this, so they stole from Islam. So when they couldn't come right, they said, best thing we do like this. Some months we keep 28, some 29. So that is your lunar year. So every 4 years for February, they're 29. So if that poor guy, he was born on the 29th of February, his birthday will come when? On the 29th of February after 4 years. And then some months 30, some months 31. You see December, 31. You see January now next year, 31. Then February, 2022. So now you must remember, is it a leap year? Then it will go to 29. If it's not leap year, then it will go to 28. So you can see so many inconsistencies in that calendar. But what they did, the British and the non-Muslims, they gave it so much currency, so the Arab countries, the Muslim countries, started using it more and more and more. And now that has become very easy for everybody. And the Muslim calendar, we ourselves, we neglected. So we are to blame for this. We did not give it currency as we ought to give it, so that we are to blame for that.
Mufti Sahib, what is the origin of New Year's?
So remember, the origin of New Year is this. When the Puritan Parliament of England banned Christmas in 1647, so it was impossible for them now to have their wine, dine and swine and celebrations and so forth. So many of the traditions that they used to carry out during, remember, the Christmas, so now they moved it to the New Year. So the New Year's Eve, that is now tomorrow night, Friday night, right, in the world you will see. First will be New Zealand, and then this country, that country. Then you come to Dubai and those countries, they will have one of the biggest New Year Eve bash and so forth, Allah forbid. So this New Year's Eve originally was known as Hogmanay. Hogmanay, H-O-G-M-A-N-A-Y. H-O-G-M-A-N-A-Y. So originally the New Year for the Romans was the 1st of March. So like I told you just now, that was 10th and all that. And then they brought it and transferred the Christmas to New Year. And that is also another custom. Now you see in New Year, what goes on? The people are kissing, the alcohol, the wine, dine and swine, and everything goes, you know, under apartheid. So you must remember that when they had, you know, Europeans and non-Europeans, whites and non-whites, that was the law, so this time. But for that few minutes, that when the New Year was ushered in, so if a white kissed or touched a, you know, African lady or like that, so then they would just turn a blind eye. They say, no, this is celebration. But any other time, they will charge the person. So you must remember. So drunk the people get and so forth. So you must remember, for us as Muslims, it has nothing to do with our deen, and to go and say we're celebrating it, or we are going to see the New Year bash, or the New Year lights, or whatever else it might be. From A to Z, everything is haram. See, I give you one example. Then we can carry on in detail with it. There today, Muslim countries, you see, Saudi Arabia has started, Dubai started long time ago, then the other Arab countries are following suit and so forth. So they're going to promote New Year, and they will have such a big fireworks display, that one of the biggest in the world. People come and see it and so forth. Now, because of COVID and so forth, people can't travel so easily. But pre-COVID, so it was such a big bash, and millions and billions of dollars are spent in this. Now, how does a Muslim or a Muslim country justify this? Absolutely haram, and no place for that in Islam.
Alhamdulillah, we return back to this program, and we welcome our listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Mufti Sahib, the next question is, a lot of fireworks on these occasions by Muslims, is this permissible?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Remember, our fatwa on this issue is this, that for a Muslim to sell fireworks, for a Muslim to buy fireworks, for a Muslim to go and see it, for a Muslim to go and say, no, I'm just trying it, experimenting. You know, I know of incidents where Muslims got injured, their face got disfigured, and so many problems. They had to go for so many plastic surgery and so forth. What a menace it is to society. You see the animals, the dogs and all that running away here and there and everywhere. So in South Africa, you must remember that the curfew hours are 12 to 4. So this morning I was hearing on another radio station, non-Muslim, so they're debating now what's going to happen tomorrow night. If the people want to party after 12 o'clock, so will the police and them intervene? Where the police will intervene? Because they themselves will be also the observers and so forth. So you see, this is how it works. For us, whether it is curfew, no curfew, so remember at all times, it's haram, it's not permissible. So we must be making tawbah and repenting, not going and participating and so forth. See, I just add another political dimension to this. You take the tinpot dictators of the Arab countries, you take the Muslim countries, all of them together, they say they're 57 countries. OIC, Organization of Islamic Cooperation. That's the name that you choose, right? So if you ask the 57 countries, how come you all are so hopeless, useless, impotent, take Pakistan out from the equation, not one country got nuclear. So when you don't have nuclear, so now the enemies will say that Iran must not get. I have a lot of issues with Iran. We say the Shias are kuffar. But this is the ploy of the West, Israel, America and the West. No, 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 Iran must not get. So we ask the question, why mustn't Iran get? So Iran is entitled to it. If you entitled, why Iran isn't entitled? Why the Arab countries? But the Arab countries are too foolish. They are bootlickers. They are more interested. No, America will protect us. This Russia will protect us. Or Europe will protect us. And then they'll spend money in all these kind of things. World Cup next year in Qatar. So billions and billions of dollars. And Allah alone knows whether there will be crowd or not, because of all this virus or what. Then you see building this tower, and building the fireworks and so forth. So the non-Muslims got the Muslim Arab countries involved in futile activities. Nothing benefits the Ummah. What it benefits the Ummah? You spend $1 billion on fireworks. So what it benefited the Ummah? Nothing, zero. Quran said, you Muslims, the governments, وَإِدُّ لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةِ. You should prepare to the best of your ability that you should have the best arms, ammunition, everything to take on the might of the kuffar and so forth. That is a different issue that Allah Jalla wa'ala, we call that kharqi adat. That is like a karamat for them, an honor for them. Allah Jalla wa'ala gave the Taliban victory against 48 countries coalition, and they had to put their tail between their legs and run. That is Qudratullah, the power of Almighty Allah. But remember, Sunnatullah is this, that the way system of Allah, every Muslim country, Arab country should have had. Now what we do? We don't have nuclear, but we go buy arms from these people here. Then they give us the second class one, and then they, not one Muslim country can manufacture a plane. So how hopeless, useless we are. Imagine that. So we only know how to buy, but we can't manufacture, we can't make. You take Pakistan out, but then no one else got nuclear. Pakistan is a poor country. So we have not practiced on these two verses, chapter 8, Surah Anfal, and verses 59 and 60. وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَبَقُوا. The non-Muslims must not think that they can beat Allah, can beat Islam and so forth. Yes, they'll beat the Muslim countries, but Allah, no. Today they speak about AI, artificial intelligence can replace God, Allah forbid, Allah forbid. That's a statement going around nowadays. Allah says for now and the future, innahum la yu'jizun. Never ever can they frustrate the plan of Allah. Never ever can they beat the plan of Almighty Allah. And you Muslims, wa'iddu lahum mastata'tum min quwwah wa mir ribatil khayl turhibuna bihi aduwallah. You must strike terror in the hearts of the enemies. Wa aduwakum, the enemies of Allah and your enemies. So instead of going there to strike terror in their hearts, what the Muslims did, that they became the slaves and the bootlickers of these people. So that is why they shame and disgrace. Chapter 8, verse 59 and 60. I just remember Allah Jalla wa'ala put one good inspirational story, episode, you know. I went to his grave also. They call him Dana'i Bahlul. Bahlul was Waliullah, sage of the age, they in Iraq. So the ulama, the rulers, they all used to come to him. One day Harun Rashid came to him, they in Iraq. He said, Ya Bahlul Ousini. So he said, give me advice. He said, that what advice must I give you? Because you know me, I speak straight, Bahlul told. So he said, what you did at Harun Rashid, Rafa'atat, this is what is happening in the Muslim Arab countries today, and all the Muslim countries. Rafa'atat tween, wa wada'atat deen. That the sand, all that you made it high and high. You build your skyscrapers, you build your palaces, you build your towers. Rafa'at al-Tween wa wada'at al-Deen. But Deen, Islam, that you brought right down. See in Makkah, Medina, Saudi Arabia, what's happening now. The Dajjals, what they are doing. Rafa'at al-Jas. Well, just means cement. Rafa'at al-Jas, Jim Sword. Wa wada'at al-Nas. And the cement and all that, you made it go so high. But the text, Nas, Quran and Sunnah, the revelation, the wahi, so that you brought it right down. Rafa'at al-Jas, wa wada'at al-Nas. In kana min amwalik, if it is your own personal wealth, O you, O Harun Rashid, فَأَنْتَ مِنَ الْمُسْرِفِينَ, then you are wasting and squandering, and you become the brother of shaitan, tabzir and so forth. So he speaks straight, because he don't fear anybody. And وَإِنْ كَانَ مِنْ أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ, and if you are stealing, taking from the public treasury, the money of the public, فَأَنْتَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ, then you are the zalim and the turnpot dictator. So he spoke Bahlul Rahimahullah, Fabaka Harun. Then Harun started crying. So exactly, you take that and apply it to our Muslim countries, Arab countries, turnpot dictators. One day I told one big sheikh in Medina Munawwara, in the Haram. He teaches in the Haram. So I told him, Sheikh, I want to share a story with you. So he said, Kissatun Jamila. So he said, this is a good story. So I even told him, you'll find it in this tafsir and this tafsir and all. So see where we went to and what we're supposed to do. We've gone off track totally, it means. If you look at the Ummah, the majority, minority, they're practicing, but majority gone offline, off track totally. Allah have got mercy on us and guide us back to the right path and the right road.
Mufti Sahib, what about having New Year resolutions?
Remember, all these are kuffar cultures. New Year resolution, this year I will not smoke, this year I will go on a diet, this year I will not have drugs, this year I will not drink, this year I will... So all this is not worth the paper on which is written. After 3 days, 1 week, one, to finish everything broken, torn. A Muslim, day and night, Allah, see the dua in Bukhari Sharif. If me and you can practice on this, we'll all become super Muslims. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ma'athami wal-maghram. Oh Allah, I seek your protection min al-ma'atham. That is the places of sins and the vices itself. So therefore, the awliyaullah, the Sufis, the khasan-e khuda, they say that, remember that كُلَّ يَوْمٍ لَمْ يَأْسِ اللَّهَ فِي فَوَّ يَوْمُ عِيدٍ, that the whole day passed and we didn't commit a sin that day. So remember, for that person there, that day is his Eid day. He's so happy, he should be. He never committed any vices. وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَا. Today people commit vices and sins and they say, my heart is clean. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala states in commandment, it is from Almighty Allah that you must shun and leave the sins. وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ, that is the superficial sins and the internal sins. So the sins outside, fraud and alcohol and drugs and all, and internal, our pride, our arrogance, our jealousy, all that. So both type of sins we must shun at all times, all places. Chapter number 6 and verse number 120. So the hadith, the dua of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ma'athami wal-maghram, and stay away from deaths. Now you see the non-Muslim culture. So much they will spend. We want to celebrate New Year's Eve, celebrate New Year's Day, and so forth. I must tell you another story. So you must remember that they go into debt and debt. Then when the New Year starts, the children have to go to school. They don't have money for stationery. They don't have money for, you must remember, uniform. They don't have money for food sometimes, all that. See the kuffar culture, the satanic culture. So how the people are caught in the debt trap. It was the 1st of January 2001. So I already went there to Niagara Falls before, but my wife wasn't with me, you know. So when I went there, so I said, no, I must show her. It's something, one of the beauties of the world, you know. So I saw it in summer, and now it was winter. It was minus 18 degrees. 1st of January, that day, the amount of clothes I wore, I never wore so many clothes in my life. So anyway, you must remember that it's the 1st January and 2001. So when we went on the path there, road there, you can see condoms, everything lying there. So this is celebration, you must remember. The wine, dine, and swine culture. Just take condom and get busy. So you must remember this type of things. Yeah. Then they don't care, because once they drunk, they don't know what they're doing. And you'll see how many accidents there will be. What a menace it is to society. Children don't know what to do. The animals are running around because the fireworks are bursting here and there and, you know, exploding everywhere. Islam taught us. Rahmatul lil alameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. More than 1400 years ago, la dwarara wa la dirar. Remember, the hadith is authentic, Mu'tah Malik. Don't cause harm to yourself. Don't cause harm to others. Today, they want to speak about the environment and human rights and animal rights. Islam taught us all these type of issues more than 1400 years ago. So we need to be very, very clear on all these issues.
Mufti Sahib, and what about making nikah on New Year's?
Alhamdulillah, that got nothing to do. So Islamically, you can marry on any day. You want to marry on Christmas Day, you want to marry on Boxing Day, you want to marry New Year's Day. So all that permissible because of convenience, because it's a holiday, public holiday, your family can travel, they can come and so forth. So Islamically, there won't be any problem with that. Yes, if the person says that I'm having my nikah on the 1st of January now, 2022, for example. So why? Because now I want to celebrate the new year. So then that is haram and not permissible. But remember, that is not the case normally. So it is just a matter of convenience. So that would be permissible and acceptable, no problem with that.
Mufti Sahib, what about if a person wants to make extra ibadat because the entire world is engaged in sin?
So that is an individual choice. You must remember that we must not impose it on people. You yourself, you see, at a time of fitna and so forth, when we study the ahadith, what Nabi alayhi salam said, stay in your house, wabki ala khatiyatik, that you cry over the sins and vices and so forth. So that's very good. This morning I gave a talk here in the masjid. So you must remember, because there were some youngsters and so forth that came in jamaat, so they told me I must give some advice. So I said, mashallah, you came, so use your leisure time in the pleasure of Almighty Allah. So one side, the people, Muslims, who are not really committed to the deen and Islam, they part-time sitting on the fence. To sit on the fence is committing an offense, a major offense. And remember, you get the non-Muslims, that they busy with all these immoral activities and so forth. So now that person there, he cries to Allah, makes dua and so forth. So excellent it is, but we can't go impose it upon people. I can't go tell everybody, you must read, you understand, 100 times Yasin and 20 times this and 50 times this and this. So to impose it, that is wrong. You must remember that. To encourage people, that's fine. There's no problem with that.
Mufti Sahib, if a person has a braai on New Year's, is this...
So we would not encourage that. All this, that we gather the family and braai and us and all that. So that directly, indirectly is imitating the non-Muslim culture. If you ask the non-Muslims, if you ask the Afrikaners, others. You ask the Englishman, you ask this one. They said, what? Ons gaan mooi braai. You understand? Op Nieuwe Jaardag. So if you know the Afrikaans culture, our people don't even know Afrikaans, what they will know Afrikaans culture and all that. So you must remember, it's very big thing that they're going to have a big braai on the New Year's Day and so forth. And so people have their different ways of celebrating and so forth. So we must never imitate a non-Muslim culture. And if you want a great book on this, is Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah's book, Iqtida'u Sirat al-Mustaqim, that how you must stay on the right path. And Mukhalafa of Ashab al-Jahim, and opposing the non-Muslims with their festivals, celebrations, customs and so forth. Therefore, the wonderful, beautiful statement of Sayyidina Umar will always stand out. You know, Sayyidina Umar is that personality, what he said on the Farsh, what he said on the land and sand. Allah Jalla Wala used to send from the Arsh. Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Inna Allah yantaliqul haqqa ala lisani Umar. Allah Jalla Wala let the truth flow from Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's Mubarak tongue and mouth and so forth. Open Mishkat Sharif, you'll find. So the point I'm making, he used to say, Sayyidina Umar, and Ibn Taymiyyah has mentioned it, and is mentioned in Bayhaqi, Ijtanibu a'ada Allahi fi idihim, stay far, far away from the enemies of Allah regarding their festivals and their celebrations and so forth. Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's two hadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Man tashabbaha biqawmin fawa minhum. Whosoever imitates a people, a nation, you become part and parcel of them. So the hadith is authentic in Abu Dawood, so you must remember that. Then third one, that the hadith is mentioned in Musnad Abi Awana, that there Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that is, man kathara sawada qawmin fawa minhum, who increases the numbers of a people, so they are part and parcel of them. So that is what you should be doing. That, stay away. Don't go and say, I'm going to see the lights, I'm going to see what they're going to do and all that. A Muslim, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ma'thami wal-maghram. Stay away from places of vices and sin. Stay away from debts. Once we lead a sin-free life, a debt-free life, then Allah will give us what He said, man amila salihan min zakarin aw unsa wa huwa mu'minun falanuhyiyannahu hayatan tayyibah. Allah will give us a pure, a chaste, a good life to lead. And that is just a bonus. وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah will give us the optimum, maximum reward in the year after. So imagine, Allah is giving us the prescription, but we say, no, I want to do my own prescription. It's like they tell you, you must take your car for service, and after 20,000 kilos or whatever, he say, no, I'll bring it after 50,000. So obviously that car won't perform well. They tell you, you must put petrol. We say, no, who the hell are you to tell me? I'll put diesel. So that's what we are doing exactly. You understand? So we might think, who can do that? But that's exactly what we are doing. We carry on like real madcaps. You must remember that. That we want to follow our worms, fancies and desires. So open Surah 16 and verse number 97. So there you will find the verse I mentioned now. How Allah gives us the good life, the pure life, and the maximum, optimum reward in the year after. But this ummah, today they say, no, we want to enjoy, we want this. So enjoyment by them, by and large, means to mimic and imitate the non-Muslims, Allah forbid. Okay, quickly let me announce again, tonight between 8 and 10 we will have our special program, the live Q&A on Markaz Sahaba, and this for tonight, inshallah, Maulana Zahid Khan and myself, it will be open line, and whatever questions you have, you can forward it, inshallah, inshallah, via WhatsApp 084-786-3132, or the listeners, foreign listeners, plus 2784-786-3132. Okay, the lineup for today will be as follows. 12 o'clock, the news, inshallah, with Brother Yusuf Ali, and thereafter, Mufti Bouda Sahab of the Deer. So, inshallah, with his advices between 12 and 1. 1 o'clock, the Zohar Azan, 1:05 to 1:30. The report back of Monday, the repeat of it, the Shuhada and the Martyrs, 1:30 to 2, Surah Bani Israel, chapter 17, verses 8 and 10. 2 to 3, Madrasa on Air, Maulana Zahid Khan. 3 to 4, inshallah, will be the news by Suleiman Esop. And thereafter, the long Q&A we had today also. So that will be between 10 past 3, quarter past 3 till 4 o'clock. And then 4 to 5, Surah Dukhan, the chapter 44, Maulana Ridwan Qaji, the synopsis of it. 5 to 7, Maulana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30 will be the translation of last week's khutbah, the repeat. And then 7:30 to 8 will be Maulana Yunus Patel, Rahimullah's advices. 8 to 10, the special Q&A for tonight with myself and Maulana Zahid Khan, inshallah. And 10 to 11, Sheikh Anwar Al-Awlaki with his series, inshallah, Al-Aziz. Barakallahu fiqh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We say jazakumullah khairan to Mufti Sahib and to all our listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba. We head on for the news now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.